Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, the British government says it's a game-changing technology that will provide new jobs, decarbonise dirty industries and help fight climate change. But the critics argue it will prolong fossil fuel use and divert much-needed investment away from things like wind and solar power. I'm talking about carbon capture technology, which Keir Starmer recently announced his government would be spending £22 billion on. Well, Barry McMullen is Emeritus Professor in the Faculty of Engineering and Computing at DCU, and he's here now in the studio to tell us all about it and explain whether it's all it's cracked up to be. Barry, you're very welcome and thank you for being here.
Morning.
You better explain to us mere mortals what carbon capture is.
Okay, yeah. We all know there's a problem with fossil fuels. Fossil fuels provide the energy that support our modern societies, coal, oil, gas, peat, and energy. People say money makes the world go round, but energy actually makes the human world go round. It affects everything, our transport, our heating, everything. And the great majority of our energy currently uses fossil fuels, which would be fine if there wasn't a downside to fossil fuels. But the big downside is that when we use them for energy, that produces carbon dioxide, which is a greenhouse gas, gets released into the atmosphere, and that is the single most significant factor driving the breakdown, we can now safely say, of the climate around the world. And so we desperately need to fix that. And one way of fixing it is stop using fossil fuels, but that's very difficult because they're so hardwired into everything we do. So proponents of this CCS technology, carbon capture and storage, say, well, maybe we can continue using fossil fuels, but instead of releasing the carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, we'll capture it and put it somewhere safe. Now, it has to be somewhere safe for a very long time. Hundreds to thousands of years to be effective. So the general idea, the most common idea, is to pump it under pressure, deep underground, disused gas fields or other geological sites. And then it's safely locked away and we have our energy and we don't change the climate. That's the theory. It's been talked about for decades. Lots of money has been spent on it. The EU alone, between 2010 and 2018 or so, spent about $500 million. Now, in these days of children's hospitals and so forth, $500 million doesn't sound like that much anymore. But they spent $500 million on, I think it was six projects. They all failed, basically. And that's a pattern around the world. These projects are technically difficult, very expensive. There are some projects rolling.
And they don't work, according to what you're saying.
They work in some sense. Okay, the projects that are running obviously are working, but the huge question mark is whether they're actually climate beneficial. So there's a lot of fuzzy talk around exactly what counts as carbon capture and storage.
Right.
The successful carbon capture and storage projects, they're called CCS, but by and large, the storage bit is a very minor bit. What they're actually doing, and this is the reason they're commercially viable, they're getting carbon dioxide from somewhere. It might be from fossil fuels, might be coming from other sources, but they're getting carbon dioxide from somewhere. And they're using it for this thing called EOR, which sounds delightfully, you know,
benign.
Benign, exactly. But it stands for enhanced oil recovery. So it's actually used to get more oil out of oil fields that are being depleted. So if an oil field is getting below the threshold where you can really get oil out of it anymore, if you pump high pressure gas back down, you can reinvigorate the field and extract more oil out of it.
And they're using the captured gas, the captured matter to do this.
They're
carbon.
Using the gas to do it. So that they refer to this as CCS. The most typical case is you might have a natural gas field, and natural gas is, you know, what we used to burning for you know, our boilers in our homes or in industry or whatever. It's mostly methane, but as it comes out of the ground in many gas fields, it's not pure methane. Mm-hmm. It can actually already have a high carbon dioxide content in it. And if it does, then it's generally not suitable for direct end use.
Right. So do you understand why Keir Starmer has decided to invest £22 billion in this thing?
Yeah, 22 billion, 26 billion euro. Now, admittedly, that's over 25 years, so roughly a billion a year, but it's still still big money. It's a policy inherited from the previous Conservative government. It's not entirely clear, to me at any rate, why this Labour government would not have paused to think harder about it. But the Labour government is very much committed to growth, 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 and energy is very central to that. And the UK, remember, is still a very significant fossil fuel producer. And they want to be able to continue doing that.
Well, this is the suspicion about all of this, that he is trying to keep the fossil fuel industry happy. And I know you had a look at George Monbiot writing in The Guardian about this today. He's very annoyed about it. He says it's a fossil fuel driven boondoggle that will accelerate climate breakdown.
And in my view, having looked at the record and the literature, I would agree with that assessment. The greatest impact of CCS to date has been, I call it a rhetorical impact. It's allowed delay. It's deflected from the need to exit from fossil fuels. It's sort of given this promissory idea that in the future it'll be safe to use fossil fuels, so let's keep using them now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
so it's a pass. It's giving yourself a pass.
Yeah.
The Chancellor of the Exchequer in the UK, Rachel Reeves, and we know she has this very challenging budget coming up, but she described this as game-changing technology.
Yeah. Look, a time machine
would
be game-changing technology, but the thing you have to understand about technology is there are many things that are physically possible. I mean, let's discount the things that are physically impossible. Okay. But there are many things that are physically possible, but the engineering of them is just so difficult and so expensive and has so little prospect of the costs really declining rapidly and would have to decline very rapidly to make sense now. And for the most part, we have alternatives. Now, there are some niche cases where that there probably almost certainly is a role for carbon capture and storage, but it's niche as opposed to mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And the Irish government official approach to this is much more nuanced. We refer to, in our current climate action plan, we refer to the UK progress and we say we're watching it carefully and, it could have a role in Ireland, but a very niche role. And we're not rushing to deploy it by any means.
Yeah, because George Monbiot makes the point, if you took that money and you invested in taking cars off the road and retrofitting houses, you would have some real tangible measures that you were taking to mitigate against climate change.
And this is fundamentally the question. If you're going to throw a lot of money at something, you want to know that it's going to work. You want to have high confidence that it's actually going to be impactful from a climate point of view. And with CCS, there's huge question marks around all the details of how it's done as to whether it will yield significant net benefits or instead. And remember, carbon capture is never 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you wind up, there's still, it might be 10%, it might be 25%. In some cases, it might be more than 50% of the CO2 still goes into the atmosphere. So if you invest a whole lot of money into locking in that kind of technology, then you're not going to zero, you're going to some lower level, but we now have to go to zero and probably even beyond zero to start taking carbon dioxide back out of the atmosphere.
So it sounds like a very expensive remedy that is not a solution and never is likely to be.
Well, it's like, as I say, it'll have a niche role because there are certain things. So, for example, cement manufacture, quite aside from the energy that goes into cement manufacture, there's an intrinsic release of carbon dioxide in our current processes for manufacturing cement. And capturing that carbon dioxide and putting it somewhere safe is one of the few technical ways of addressing that. Now, we can look for alternatives to cement, and there's a lot of work going on that in concrete. But as I say, there are niche places where we may have no alternatives, but because it's so expensive and those niche areas have to be ones where we're really, really sure that CCS is going to fix the problem,
mm-hmm.
Completely eliminate those emissions.
Yeah. So is cement manufacture one of the few industries that where this can be used successfully, in inverted commas?
Certainly in the Irish case, I'd say it's, and that's again what the climate plan says, it highlights cement manufacturing. Now, it also highlights electricity generation, and that's part of the plan in the UK as well, that we continue to use natural gas, especially for electricity generation, would capture the carbon dioxide and put it in storage. And the Irish government is suggesting that that may be part of the Irish situation as well. But the problem there is partly you don't capture 100%, but also, remember, natural gas, I said, is mostly methane. Mm-hmm. Methane is itself a highly potent greenhouse gas. Upstream from where you burn it, you have to extract, transport and deliver the methane. And at all those steps, there's risks of leakage of methane. And a very small, you know, a few percentage points of leakage upstream, and you can't capture it upstream because it's already gone into the atmosphere. Even a few percentage points of leakage of that natural gas completely undoes the benefit of capturing the carbon dioxide on combustion.
Right. So the UK isn't the only place that's doing this, because there is a carbon capture plant in Iceland, isn't there?
Okay, well, the situation in Iceland is a bit different. So what they're doing is actually removing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. So this is not trying to rehabilitate.
Not capturing it at source.
Not capturing it for fossil fuel use. But there is carbon dioxide. There's too much carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. So they're trying to extract carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and then put it back underground in geological storage. And that is probably something we need to do, because we've left it so late and we've put so much carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. It's an extremely energy intensive process. So unless you've got access to copious amounts of very low emissions energy, it doesn't make sense. And that's why it's happening in Iceland, because they have access to exceptionally good geothermal energy sources. They're not zero carbon, but they're close to zero carbon. Now, they're using a slightly different process for storing the carbon geologically, but the main point is that they're taking it from air. So it's nothing to do with locking in fossil fuel use, and they're storing it underground. You can. It's very small scale, but if you want to, you can buy that service today. It's expensive, and people won't really understand these numbers. But at the moment, you can do it through a website. You can sign up today, and pay them to remove your carbon dioxide for you if you want. They will charge about €1,300 per ton of carbon dioxide.
Right.
Okay.
Not an insignificant amount.
If I took a return flight to Brussels, allowing for both the carbon dioxide that would be released and the non-carbon dioxide effects of aviation, that would be equivalent to about half a ton of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. So if I was a responsible person and I was going to pay somebody to take carbon dioxide back out of the atmosphere, that would add to my ticket price, which might be €150 or a lot less.
€650. Right. All right, Barry, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much. Very interesting to talk to you about carbon capture technology and its potential role in the future. Barry McMullen, Emeritus Professor in the Faculty of Engineering and Computing at DCU.